Now I want you to turn with me to Jude, and I want to look at verse 14, please. Actually, there are three short readings that I want to read to you this morning. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And then back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, please. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then back into the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, and if you've been observant, you'll notice that one man has been brought before us in these two readings, and in our final reading, this man again has been brought before us. I want to talk to you this morning about the man who walked with God. Enoch, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Here's what it says. Genesis 5 and verse 24. And maybe we could keep our Bibles open at this passage, please. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Verse 22 says, And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. An older couple had trouble remembering day-to-day things. You know what it's like, don't you? And so they both came to this decision. They both decided that they would write down requests the other had, and thus try to avoid forgetting. One evening the wife asked her husband if he would like anything, and he replied, Yes, I'd like a large ice cream sundae with chocolate ice cream, whipped cream on the top of it, and to top it all, a little cherry. The wife started off for the kitchen, and her husband shouted after her, Aren't you going to write it down? She shouted back, Don't be silly. Going to get it right now. Won't forget. She was gone for quite a while, and when she finally returned to her husband, she sat down in front of him, a large plate of eggs and bacon and sausage and tomatoes, and a glass of orange juice. He took a look at her and he said, I know you should have written it down, you forgot the toast. My friends, when it comes to the life of Enoch, I don't know how anyone could forget the impact that he has left on the scriptures of truth. Enoch's biography is compressed into 9 suggestive verses, and in those 9 suggestive verses, 3 tremendous tributes are paid to this man of God. From the book of Genesis, we learn that he walked with God. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that he pleased God. Jude adds the supplement that he testified for God a full and a satisfying life. Indeed, the name Enoch means dedicated. And where his name is placed in this passage of scripture in Genesis 5 is deeply significant. Lamech was his contemporary. He was the man who worshipped the sword, and he was seventh in the line of Cain. He was seventh in the Cainite genealogy. Enoch, the man who was dedicated for God, was the man who was number seventh in the Sethite genealogy. You see, there were two kinds of people on the earth in the days of Enoch. There were the descendants of Cain, and there were the descendants of Seth. In Genesis chapter 4, we've got the record of Cain's kind. In Genesis chapter 5, we've got the record of Seth's kind. The line of Cain lived for this world. The line of Seth lived for the world to come. In order to show us Cain's kind, God takes us into the marketplace. In order to show us Seth's kind, God takes us into the morgue. You see, all down chapter 5, we have the tolling of the bell. We have the tolling of the funeral bell. Time and again, we read this phrase, and he died, and he died, and he died. Do you know what God was doing? He was proving the devil a liar. Don't ever forget this morning that God is true, but the devil's a liar. The devil had said to Adam and Eve, ye shall not surely die. But all down chapter 5, we have the tolling of the bell, and he died, and he died, and he died. That is, until you come to Enoch. For in Enoch, we have something quite different. Instead of a tomb, we've got a translation. God does something absolutely new on earth, something that he had never done before, but bless God, something that he most certainly intends to do again. God reached down from heaven and took a man boldly and bodily right into glory. I mean, Enoch went home without having to pass through the article of death. We could say this morning that Enoch lived on the very verge of rapture. Now I want to talk to you this morning about this man who walked with God. In the book of Micah, we have a very interesting question. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Now, Enoch's life of walking with God is a tremendous picture. It's a beautiful picture of the entire Christian life. You know, the whole Christian life this morning is summed up in three words. Salvation, that's how it commences. Sanctification, that's how it continues. Glorification, that's how it concludes. And so you see to say that Enoch walked with God, first of all, carries the idea that Enoch walked in that salvation. I mean, was Enoch always a believer? Did he always walk with God? No. Something happened in his life that caused him to walk with God. You and I know this morning that a walk always has to have a beginning point. Somewhere along the line, the walk has to begin. As far as Enoch was concerned, there was a reconciliation to God. Look at chapter 5 for a moment and verse 3. Genesis 5 and verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, that's a little bit of a different twist from what you find in verse 1. Look at verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. So something has taken place. Something has taken place now because you see that Seth is no longer born in the image of God. He's born in the image of Adam. You see, sin has entered into the world. Seth was born in the likeness of Adam. Born a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. Born with a fallen, corrupt nature in desperate need of a new nature. And of course, this Adamic, fallen, corrupt nature has been transmitted to every generation that follows. That's why Paul says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Seems for the first 65 years of his life, Enoch walked according to the course of this world. Look at verse 22, Genesis 5. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. And so for the first 65 years of his life, Enoch walked according to the course of this world. He was born of Adam's race. as lost as the wildest and worst of sinners. And yet somehow in that 65th year of his life, God broke into the life of Enoch. Somehow God seemed to come to Enoch and say to him, Enoch, there's a better world than this old world you see around you. If you trust me and walk with me, I'll take you to a better world. And so Enoch was saved. You say, how was he saved, Dennis? Well, look at chapter 6 and verse 8. It says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Enoch had the same experience. And you and I have had the same experience. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we're saved. And we're not saved because we walk with God, but we are saved in order to walk with God. And that's called salvation. He walked in. He had a salvation experience. What about you? I wonder, has there been that beginning point in your life? Has there been that point in your life where you realized that you were a sinner before God, under the judgment of God, heading for hell itself? A point in your life where you needed Jesus Christ and you received him. And you received him as your Savior. You see, salvation and walking with God conveys the idea of reconciliation. God poses the question through Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? And you see, as far as Enoch was concerned, there was a reconciliation to God. But something else, there was a revelation by God. Look what it says in verse 22. And Enoch walked with God when? After he begot Methuselah. You know, there's nothing that changes a family like the birth of a little child. Things are going to be different in your home. When that baby comes, they sure were in our home. Life is never the same when a little child comes into the world. And many a person has realized their need of God's salvation through the birth of the child. You see, that's what happened to Enoch. Do you know what the word Methuselah means? It means when he is dead, it shall be sent. You know what happened after the death of Methuselah? There was the flood, there was the terrible judgment. God judged the world by water. And Enoch knew all about this impending judgment. It seemed that God revealed to Enoch in a very special way that when this little boy was born to him, Methuselah, that when this little boy died, when this man died, God would judge the world. You know, I've got a feeling that every time little Methuselah got a cold, Enoch kind of wondered. I've got a feeling that every time Methuselah got a fever, Enoch wondered, is the flood on the way? It's as though God said to Enoch, Enoch, do you see that little boy? The world is going to last as long as the life of that child. And when that child dies, I'm going to deal with the world in judgment. My friends, can you imagine the effect that it had on Enoch? Unconverted friend this morning, if God burst into your bedroom and said to you in some authentic way that the world will last only as long as the life of your child, would you not be concerned? Would you not be deeply stirred? Would you not begin to think about eternal and spiritual things? Enoch did. And from that moment, he began to walk with God. Have you begun to walk with God? Has the goodness of God led you to repentance? Has the joys of life led you to seek God? My fellow parent this morning, have the responsibilities of parenthood made you cast yourself more and more of God? Here's what Alexander White says of Enoch. He says, as child followed child, Enoch the father grew more and more with the growth of his house until he was not. For God took him. In other words, says White, as Enoch's family grew numerically, Enoch grew spiritually. As Enoch's family grew in numbers, here was a man who grew in his knowledge of God and in his walk with God. Wonder this morning what way your kids will remember you. I'll tell you the way I remember my dad. On his knees before God. On his knees before God. Because I can remember coming in late on a Saturday night, turning the key in the door, looking into the lounge through the glass door, and seeing a man on his knees before God, pleading with God for his wayward child. I wonder, what way will your kids remember you? Will they remember you as a parent who was always growing in grace, as one who constantly walked with God? Enoch walked in, that's salvation. But notice in the second place, Enoch walked with, and that's sanctification. Look at verse 22 of Genesis 5. And Enoch walked with God. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with. Isn't that a beautiful way of describing what the Christian life is all about? I mean, the Christian life is walking with God on a daily basis. Sanctification means progressive growth in righteousness. In other words, day by day walking close to God, day by day becoming more like the Lord Jesus. Now, what does it mean when it says that Enoch walked with God in terms of daily living sanctification? Look at Genesis 5 for a moment. Enoch was familiar with God. And Enoch walked with God. I'm not using the word familiar in the sense that God was his buddy. No, no. Here was a man who knew God intimately. And Enoch walked with God. When? You know, people say that you can't walk with the Lord in the 21st century. But may I remind you, dear friends, this morning that Enoch lived in the days of Genesis 4 and in the days of Genesis 6. There was polygamy, an attack on the family. There was pornography, an attack on society. There was brutality, there was murder, there was sexual perversion on every kind. It was a day that was so bad that God got disgusted with a lot of it, and he decided to scrub the lot and just start all over. He sent a flood, he got rid of the whole civilization, and yet in the midst of that godless, lawless, permissive society, here's a man who's holy unto the Lord, and Enoch walked with God. When? Enoch walked with God. Why? Because he had a heart for God. He had a soul thirst for God. You'll notice that it doesn't say that God walked with Enoch. Rather, it says Enoch walked with God. You know, I've got a feeling that one day Mrs. Enoch said to Enoch, "Will you go down to the supermarket and pick up some sirloin steaks and pecan pie?" Sounds good, doesn't it? And so old Enoch jumped in his Jaguar and he took off to the supermarket, and he's pushing the trolley down the aisles. You know what it's like, guys. He's pushing the trolley down the aisles and he's getting those items and he's pitching them in, and he's looking at the end of the row, and he looks a bit closer and he sees, what do you know? That's old Adam. You see, Adam was still alive when Enoch lived. And so he pushes the trolley up to Adam and he says, "Excuse me, but aren't you Adam?" And Adam looks at him and says, "Why, yes, son, what can I do for you?" He says, "You know, Adam, I've been wanting to ask you, what was it like before sin came? Adam, what was it like before sin came into the garden? What was it like before man tumbled to his fallen condition? What was it like before corruption came into society?" And I have a feeling that old Adam got a faraway look in his eye. And I can imagine the tears began to well up in his eyes and glistened in the light of the store as he began to say, "Oh son, in the Garden of Eden, before sin came, two times every day God came and we walked together. In the morning, God would come and we'd walk up to some high mountain and we'd explore the wonders of his universe. And God would come in the evening and we'd walk into some lush, beautiful valley and we'd explore, we'd look at the glories of his creation. Son, before sin came in the Garden of Eden, I was walking with God." I've got a feeling in my heart that Enoch said, well, if that's what it was, I want to walk with God. You want to walk with God this morning? I mean, have you a desire for God? Have you a thirst for God? Can you say with the psalmist, as the hart pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God? Enoch walked with God. When? Enoch walked with God. Why? Enoch walked with God. What? I mean, what does it mean to walk with God? Dr. Campbell Morgan says, walking with God means that we're going in the same direction that God is going. You know, when you go out for a walk with someone, you have to walk at the same pace. You have to walk in the same direction. And you know, for Enoch to walk with God, he had to walk at the same pace, which meant a moment by moment obedience to God's word. To walk with God for Enoch meant that he had to go in the same direction, which meant a moment-by-moment obedience to God's will. Can you imagine what it was with Enoch? Someone would say, hey, old Enoch, let's go to the beer party tonight. Someone else would say, Enoch, let's take a little sniff of this drug. Someone else would say, Enoch, let's go and watch a dirty movie tonight. Someone else would say, Enoch, let's jump into this bed of lust. And Enoch would say, I have no desire for that. I'm having the time of my life walking with God. Wonder this morning, what adjustments do you need to make so that you can walk with God? Adjustments in your daily and weekly schedule. Adjustments in your ambition and in your attitude. Adjustments in your personal habits of Bible reading and prayer. I mean, how can you walk with God, dear Christian friend, if you don't know the direction in which God is going? And the only way you can know the direction in which God is going is for your mind and heart and soul to be saturated with His Word. And Enoch walked with God. Think of it. Remember, it was before the flood came. And Enoch walked with God 300 years. Isn't that staggering? Not lagging behind, not running ahead, walking at the same speed, in step with his God. When she lay dying, Mrs. Hudson Taylor said to her husband, you know, dear, for the past 10 years, there hasn't been a cloud between me and my Savior. Spurgeon testified that he had not known more than 15 years out of fellowship with the Lord. What about you this morning? Are you familiar with God in the right sense? Enoch was familiar with God. Genesis 5. Something else. Enoch was favored by God. The book of Hebrews tells us that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, there's something very interesting here. It's this, that in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in Genesis 5, the phrase, he walked with God, is translated in the Septuagint, Enoch pleased God. You see, the two expressions are treated as equivalent. You say, Dennis, what does it mean to walk with God? Walking with the Lord means living a life that's pleasing God. You know, you can't please everybody in the world. Sometimes you can't even please everybody in the local church, but you can please God. I heard about a politician who was in an airplane flying one day, and he said, I think I'll make somebody happy and throw out a $100 bill out of the window. And then he said, I think I'll make 5 people happy and I'll throw 5 $20 bills out of the window. And then he said, I think I'll make 10 people happy. And I'll throw $10 bills out of the window. One old boy who heard him said, why don't you make everybody happy and jump out of the window yourself? You know, you can't please everybody. But you know what? You can please the Lord. I think of another man who had this testimony that he pleased God. His name was not Enoch. His name was Christ. For as God watched his son tread the scene of time, he opened heaven and he called down to men, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And so when we read that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God, we can only come to the conclusion that in the sinful society in which he lived like Christ. The touchstone of Enoch's conduct was this. Will this please God? Will this please God? Will this please God? Is your goal this morning to please God? Does where you go please Him? Does who you are with please Him? Does how you behave please Him? Is God pleased with your attitude to other Christians? Is God pleased with your attendance at His house? Is God pleased with how you give to the work of God? My friends, pleasing God should be the purpose, the passion, and the priority of our lives. He was familiar with God, Genesis 5. He was favored by God, Hebrews 11. Something else. He was faithful to God, Jude verse 14. It says this, and Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. My dear friends, so sinful was society that the only outlook for the world that Enoch saw was the Lord's coming and judgment. Can you imagine Enoch preaching? He was the world's first uncompromising prophet in his day. I'm sure his message wasn't pleasing to Adamic society, but here's a man who stood and he faithfully preached on coming judgment. He wasn't one of those ear-tickling preachers who water down the truth for fear that someone might be offended. You know the type. You know what our generation needs this morning? Not political reform, not social reform, not economic reform, not educational reform. What our generation is starving for is an old-time preacher full of the Spirit of God, armed with the Word of God, telling people about the coming judgment of God. But what a life. Pleasing to God. Faithful to men. But notice the order. Before we can witness for God, we must walk with God. Indeed, we will witness more effectively if we walk more closely. Sanctification, that's what it's all about. Now, can you see Enoch? Can you see this countryman going down the road, this family man, this ordinary man, this 5'8" going down the road and he's walking with God. Enoch walked in that salvation. Enoch walked with that sanctification. But notice finally that Enoch walked out. That's glorification. Look at Genesis 5 and verse 24. It says this, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. In the book of Hebrews, we have the Holy Spirit's commentary on this passage from Genesis. We read, by faith Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death and was not found because God had translated him. In Genesis, we see that Enoch was moved. He was moved to glory and he was not. You know, in the 1960s, those of you who can remember that, the Americans introduced astronauts. You know what the Russians introduced in 1980? Cosmonauts. Can you see that Enoch was not? One day he was walking along and suddenly he was not. He was snatched out. He was caught away, raptured, if you please. By faith, Enoch was translated. It means carried over, carried across. At the brink of the river, God picked him up. God carried him over. God set him down on the other shore. He was not, for God took him. You know, my dear friends, I know of another group of was-nots. You see, Enoch is a picture of those who will be alive when the Lord comes to translate, catch away his church. Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of these days, God is going to reach down and take home not just a champion, but a church. One day, the Lord of glory will step out on the clouds of glory to call the children of glory to their eternal home of glory. You may be at home, you may be doing the dishes, you may be doing the ironing, you may be at work, you may be working on the hospital ward, you may be driving the forklift, you may be teaching, you may be taking lunch, you may be in the Sunday school singing in the choir. Isn't it going to be something when the Lord comes to catch away his waiting bride? Just think of stepping ashore and finding it heaven. Of taking a hand and finding of God's. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial. Of waking up in glory and finding it home. Enoch was moved. In Genesis we see that Enoch was moved to glory. In Hebrews we see that Enoch was missed by society. For the Bible says he was not found. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. When it says he wasn't found, you say, what does it mean? It means that they went looking for him. Suddenly realized the capital value of a man who walked with God. And now that he was gone, there was a tremendous loss in his home, in society, in business. He was sought, but it was all in vain. He was missed. Wonder, could I ask you a question today? If you died today, would you be missed? While he was alive, they probably thought, old Enoch, he's a religious crank. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine what Adamic society thought while Enoch was preaching on the Lord's coming and judgment? Poor old Enoch. That extreme, you know, in his religious commitment. Just living for God, just walking with God, just preaching with God day in, day out. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says that he was missed, he was not found. Even today, after thousands of years, his life, his labor, his legacy, still being remembered. Think of the life of D.L. Moody. Just an ordinary guy, Moody. Shoe clerk. Won to Christ by his Sunday school teacher. Went on to become one of the greatest evangelists in history. Shook America for Christ. Shook the United Kingdom for Christ. Moved to Chicago. Founded the Moody Bible Church, the Moody Bible Institute, and the Moody Press. In the little field in Northfield in Massachusetts, the body of D.L. Moody is buried. And on his tombstone is this inscription, Dwight L. Moody. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Moody's ministry is still living. And still blessing those who come into conduct with it, into contact with it. And so is Enoch. My friend, this morning you walk with God. When God calls you home, people will miss you. Simply, Mr. Preston was dying. His family was gathered around him. His friends, they were weeping. Said to them this, I go to change my place, but not my company. I've walked with God on earth, and now he's calling me to walk with him in glory. Each day by faith till life shall end. I'll walk with him, my dearest friend, till safe I tread the fields of light. where faith is lost in perfect sight. The man who walked with God, he walked in that salvation. Are you saved? He walked with that sanctification. Are you walking with God on a daily basis? He walked out. That's glorification. One of these days we're going home. You know, Dr. Campbell Morgan tells a lovely story. Little girl who'd come home from Sunday school one Sunday afternoon, and she came bouncing into the kitchen and bouncing up on her mother's knee. And she said, "Mommy, we heard about a wonderful man today." And the mother said, "Well, tell me something about it." "Well, Mommy, you know, his name was Enoch, and he used to go long walks with God." The mommy said, "Well, dear, how did the story end?" "Oh," she said, "Mommy, one day they," that is God and Enoch, "they walked on and on and on and on and on. That God said to Enoch, 'You're a long way from home now. You'd better come in and stay with me.' He was not. God took him." Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm, a heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb.